Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the October 26th, 2022 episode, Wednesday morning episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. This is a podcast that was, the intro tells you what it's going to include. And this was something that was envisioned by me. I'd heard somebody else do a podcast similar. But more and more the studies have been coming out, and studies from reputable people showing that the church and that Christians, well, the world as a whole, but Christians in specific, and the church is becoming less and less biblically literate. It's spending less and less time in the Bible. And, we can make arguments for any of a number of reasons. A lot of us are overwhelmed with more and more stuff we need to do just to keep a roof over our head, people having to pick up second and third jobs, spouses having to go back into the workforce that had not been, to just try to keep from, going into bankruptcy and stuff like that, with the inflation going up, fuel costs and all of that. But at the same time, and I know this is the case for me, poor time management, having poor time management and therefore not arranging my day such that I have the time to spend in the Word of God. So between the podcast, I had heard from a friend of mine that is really, really good with this. And then those thoughts, as well as the thought that there are some folks out there with chronic conditions, and some of the symptoms of them show what is called a brain fog. It makes it very, very hard for them, as much as they like to read, and as much as in some cases they like to read the Bible. It can become very, very hard for them. It can become very, very hard for them to be able to sit and read and process what they're reading. It can become an extreme chore for people that have been avid and voracious readers their whole lives, particularly in the Word of God for many years. So my thought was that this would give some time, some ability for them to at least be exposed to the Word of God, at least in an audio format. And also it was the thought that maybe, folks riding in and out to work. I know when I was driving in and out to work prior to the dastardly pandemic, that I used that time to listen to Christian podcasts. I spent that time, with the preaching of the Word of God, with the teaching of the Word of God. And so I thought this might be something valid for somebody to spend this time in prayer and devotion and the Word of God, as we do each morning. So that's kind of what drove me to do this. So with all of that said, let's see, the links for everything I'm going to read online, where you could read along with me online, are in the show notes, as well as links to where you can get hold of the hard copies of each of these. The Valley of Vision, where our prayers come from, Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, where our devotion comes from, and the Legacy Standard Bible, as well as where I'm reading our scriptures from, as well as a link to the PDF that has Robert Murray McShane's Bible reading plan that we're using, as well as his letter to his congregation explaining what motivated him to put this out and how for them to consume it. So let's go ahead and dive into our reading. And I would encourage you, with the links and everything, please get hold of the hard copies. We don't know what's going to happen power-wise. I mean, the way things are going, especially as we head into the winter, we don't know what's going to happen internet-wise with all the hackers and everything else out there. So having the hard copies, you won't be prevented from exposing yourselves to this, and it's definitely worth it. So anyways, as I've said now, I think this is the third time, let's go ahead and get into our reading. As is our practice, we're going to do our prayers first this morning. As I said, the prayers are from Valley of Vision, which is a collection of Puritan prayers. And we're going to do our standards that we do each morning that are resting on God and grace in trials. And then we will do our morning prayer for the specific morning of the week. This is the fourth day morning, so we will do that one last. So resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. Now, grace and trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways. But without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. All right, now our prayer for the morning. This is the fourth day morning prayer. It's titled True Christianity. Lord of heaven, thy goodness is inexpressible and inconceivable. In the works of creation, thou art almighty. In the dispensations of providence, all wise. In the gospel of grace, all love. And in thy Son thou hast provided for our deliverance from the effects of sin, the justification of our persons, the sanctification of our natures, the perseverance of our souls in the path of life. Though exposed to the terrors of thy law, we have a refuge from the storm. Though compelled to cry unclean, we have a fountain for sin. Though creature cells of emptiness, we have a fullness accessible to all and incapable of reduction. Grant us always to know that to walk with Jesus makes other interests a shadow and a dream. Keep us from intermittent attention to eternal things. Save us from the delusion of those who fail to go far in religion, who are concerned but not converted, who have another heart but not a new one, who have light, zeal, confidence, but not Christ. Let us judge our Christianity, not only by our dependence upon Jesus, but by our love to him, our conformity to him, our knowledge of him. Give us a religion that is both real and progressive, that holds on its way and grows stronger, that lives and works in the Spirit, that profits by every correction and is injured by no carnal indulgence. Amen. All right, and our devotion, and I'm going to take some coffee here real quick. Okay, and our devotion this morning, this is the morning, October 26th devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and the text for it is Haggai 1:9. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Churlish souls stint their contributions to the ministry and missionary operations, and call such saving good economy. Little do they dream that they are thus impoverishing themselves. Their excuse is that they must care for their own families, and they forget that to neglect the house of God is the sure way to bring ruin upon their own houses. Our God has a method in providence by which he can succeed our endeavors beyond our expectation, or can defeat our plans to our confusion and dismay. By a turn of his hand, he can steer our vessel in a profitable channel, or run it aground in poverty and bankruptcy. It is the teaching of Scripture that the Lord enriches the liberal and leaves the miserly to find out that withholding tendeth to poverty. In a very wide sphere of observation, I have noticed that the most generous Christians of my acquaintance have been always the most happy, and almost invariably the most prosperous. I have seen the liberal giver rise to wealth of which he never dreamed, and I have as often seen the mean, ungenerous churl descend to poverty by the very parsimony by which he thought to rise. Men trust good stewards with larger and larger sums, and so it frequently is with the Lord. He gives by cartloads to those who give by bushels. Where wealth is not bestowed, the Lord makes the little much by the contentment which the sanctified heart feels in a portion of which the tithe has been dedicated to the Lord. Selfishness looks first at home, but godliness seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yet in the long run, selfishness is loss, and godliness is great gain. It needs faith to act towards our God with an open hand, but surely he deserves it of us, and all that we can do is a very poor acknowledgement of our amazing indebtedness to his goodness. Amen. All righty, what a good devotion. All right, 2 Kings, okay, so our Bible reading for today is 2 Kings 7, 1 Timothy 4, Daniel 11, and then Psalm 119 again. We're going to be doing verses 25 through 48, because again, Psalm 119 is the longest of the Psalms. It's got a lot of verses, near 200. It's 100, I forget how many, 160, 170, 190, somewhere in there. So 2 Kings 7. Then Elisha said, "Listen to the word of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh, about this time tomorrow, a seah of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And the royal officer, on whose hand the king was leaning, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if Yahweh should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" Then he said, "Behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now come, and let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we will live, and if they put us to death, we will die." So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. Then they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, but behold, there was no one there. Now the Lord had caused the camp of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great military force, so that they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and forsook their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life. So these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, and entered one tent, and ate and drank. Then they carried from there silver and gold and clothes, and they went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. So now come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city. And they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Arameans, and behold, there was no one there, nor the voice of man, only the horses tied, and the donkeys tied, and the tents just as they were." And the gatekeepers called and told it within the king's household. Then the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "I will now tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore they have gone from the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we will capture them alive and get into the city.'" And one of his servants answered and said, "Please, let some men take 5 of the remaining horses, which remain in the city. Behold, they will be in any case like all the multitude of Israel who remain in it. Behold, they will be in any case like all the multitude of Israel who have already come to an end. So let us send and see." They took therefore 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent after the camp of the Arameans, saying, "Go and see." Then they went after them to the Jordan, and behold, all the way was full of clothes and equipment which the Arameans had thrown away in their haste. Then the messengers returned and told the king. So the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. Then a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of Yahweh. Now the king appointed the royal officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had spoken, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, and a seah of fine flour for a shekel will be sold tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria. And the royal officer had answered the man of God and said, "Now behold, if Yahweh should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be?" And he had said, "Behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." And so it happened to him, for the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died. All right, and 1 Timothy 4. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by the hypocrisy of liars who have been seared in their own conscience, who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God created to be shared in with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. But refuse godless myths, fit only for old women. On the other hand, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily training is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life, and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy saying and deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Command and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but show yourself as a model to those who believe in word, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the gift within you, which was given to you through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. All right. I'm Daniel 11, and I'm going to take some coffee here. All right, Daniel 11. Now I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I Yeah, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood to strengthen and to be a fortress for him. So now I will tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings are going to stand in Persia. Then a fourth will gain far more riches than all of them. As soon as he becomes strong through his riches, he will arouse the whole empire against the kingdom of Greece. And a mighty king will stand, and he will dominate with great domination and do as he pleases. But as soon as he stands, his kingdom will be broken up and parceled out towards the four winds of heaven, but not to his own descendants, nor according to his domination with which he dominated, for his kingdom will be uprooted and given to others besides them. Then the king of the south will grow strong along with one of his princes, who will grow strong over him and obtain dominion. Indeed, his domain will be a great dominion. And after some years, they will form an alliance, and the daughter of the king of the south will come to the king of the north to carry out an equitable arrangement. But she will not retain her position of power, nor will he continue to stand with his power. But she will be given up, along with those who brought her in, and the one who fathered her, as well as he who strengthened her in those times. But one of the descendants of her line will stand in his place, and he will come against their military force and enter the fortress of the king of the north, and he will deal with them and display strength. And also their gods, with their metal images and their desirable vessels of silver and gold, he will bring into captivity to Egypt. And he, on his part, will stand back from attacking the king of the north for some years. Then the latter will enter the kingdom of the king of the south, but will return to his own land, and his sons will wage war. So they will gather a multitude of great forces, and one of them will keep on coming and overflow and pass through, that he may again wage war up to his very fortress. And the king of the south will be enraged and go forth and fight with the king of the north. Then the latter will cause a great multitude to stand, but that multitude will be given into the hand of the former. Then the multitude will be carried away. His heart will be lifted up, and he will cause tens of thousands to fall, yet he will not prevail. And the king of the north will again cause a much greater multitude than the former to stand. And at the end of the times of those years, he will keep on coming with a great military force and much equipment. Now in those times many will stand against the king of the south. The violent ones among your people will also lift themselves up in order to cause the vision to stand, but they will fall down. Then the king of the north will come, cast up a siege ramp, and capture a well-fortified city. And the might of the south will not stand, not even their choicest troops, for there will be no strength to make a stand. But he who comes against him will do as he pleases, and no one will be able to stand in opposition to him. He will also stand for a time in the beautiful land with destruction in his hand. And he will set his face to come with the authority of his whole kingdom, bringing with him an equitable proposal, which he will put into effect. He will also give him the daughter of women to destroy it, but she will not take a stand for him or be on his side. Then he will turn his face to the coastlands and capture many. But a ruler will make his reproach against him cease. Moreover, he will repay him for his reproach. So he will turn his face toward the fortresses of his own land. But he will stumble and fall and be found no more. Then in his place one will stand who will have an oppressor pass through the jewel of his kingdom. Yet within a few days he will be broken, though not in anger nor in battle. And in his place a despised person will stand, to whom the splendor of the kingdom has not been given. But he will come in a time of ease and take hold of the kingdom by intrigue. But the overflowing might will be flooded away before him and broken, and also the prince of the covenant. And after an alliance is made with him, he will practice deception, and he will go up and gain power with a small force of people. In a time of ease, he will enter the richest parts of the province, and he will do what his fathers never did, nor his fathers' fathers. He will distribute plunder, spoil, and possessions among them, and he will devise his schemes against strongholds, but only for a time. And he will stir up his strength and heart against the king of the south, and against the king of the south with a great military force. So the king of the south will wage war with an extremely large and mighty military force for war, but he will not stand, for schemes will be devised against him, and those who eat his choice food will break him, and his military force will overflow, but many will fall down slain. And as for both kings, their hearts will be intent on evil, and they will speak falsehood at the same table, but it will not succeed, for the end is still to come at the appointed time. Then he will return to his land with great possessions, but his heart will be set against the Holy Covenant, and he will take action and then return to his own land. At the appointed time, he will return and come into the south, but this last time it will not happen the way it did before. Indeed, ships of Kittim will come against him. Therefore, he will be disheartened and will return and become indignant at the Holy Covenant and take action. So he will come back and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant. Mighty forces from him will stand, profane the sanctuary fortress, and abolish the regular sacrifice, and they will set up the abomination of desolation. And by smooth words he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action, and those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. Yet they will fall by sword and by flame, by captivity and by plunder for many days. Now when they fall, they will be granted a little help, and many will join with them in intrigue, and some of those who have insight will fall, in order to refine, purge, and make them pure until the time of the end, because it is still to come at the appointed time. Then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will speak astonishing things against the God of gods, and he will succeed until the indignation is finished. For that which is decreed will be done. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers, or for the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any other god, for he will magnify himself above them all. But instead he will honor a god of fortresses, a god whom his fathers did not know. He will honor him with gold, silver, costly stones, and desirable things. And he will take action against the strongest of fortresses with the help of a foreign god. He will give great honor to those who recognize him, and will cause them to rule over the many, and will apportion land for a price. And at the time of the end, the king of the south will collide with him, and the king of the north will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships, and he will enter lands, overflow them, and pass through. And he will also enter the beautiful land, and many countries will fall, but these will be rescued out of his hand: Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon. Then he will send forth his hand against other countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape. But he will rule over the hidden treasures of gold and silver, and over all the desirable things of Egypt and Libyans and Libyans and Ethiopians will follow at his heels. But reports from the east and from the north will dismay him, and he will go forth with a great wrath to destroy and devote many to destruction. And he will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion between the seas and the beautiful holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help. And now Psalm 119, 25 through 48. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have recounted my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will muse on your wondrous deeds. My soul weeps because of grief. Raise me up according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your judgments before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Yahweh, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Instruct me, O Yahweh, in the way of your statutes, that I may observe it to the end. Cause me to understand, that I may observe your law, and keep it with all my heart. Cause me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Cause my heart to incline to your testimonies, and not to dishonest gain. Cause my eyes to turn away from looking at worthlessness, and revive me in your ways. Cause your word to be established for your slave, as that which produces fear for you. Cause my reproach, which I dread, to pass away, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. May your loving kindness also come to me, O Yahweh, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take away the word of truth utterly from my mouth, for I wait for your judgments. So I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk in a wide place, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and I shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will muse on your statutes. All right, and that is our reading for today. Let's see, we're in the middle of the week, so we've gotten about, well, we're about halfway through it, which is definitely good. I hope you're having a good week or looking forward to having a good rest of your week. The wife and I were very, very blessed. We got to have my grandson yesterday from 9:30 till after 4 o'clock. And, so it was wonderful. We had a fun, very fun time with him. He was crazy boy, but he was so fun. And then he got to take a trip with my wife. She took him over to the grocery store and stuff. And, she got to run around with him in the grocery store and had a really good time with him. Which gave me a little bit of peace towards the end of the day, which was nice, but it was so fun, spending the time with him. I just, you know, everybody told me, oh, it's going to be different when you have grandchildren. And I was like, okay, they're not wrong. It is different. I mean, I love my sons very much. They are wonderful young men. And in a lot of cases, in spite of myself, but, wow, just having a grandchild is amazing. Very, very much enjoy spending time with him. And he's a reminder to me of how wonderful God is. He really is. And I can't wait for more. I can't wait for more grandchildren. Not necessarily trying to rush my sons, but I'm Papa Wayne and I've got all kinds of love to give to grandchildren. But, as does my wife, she had watching my wife crawl around on the floor with him and then, and chase each other back and forth across the floor was just hilarious. But, so I hope your week is going decently as well, even as crazy as the world is around us. And we've got to remember, I know we're coming up towards elections and everybody's talking about it and everything else. And it's not that I don't care about them. I do. And obviously I will be voting as everybody else will be, or at least I hope everybody else that is, our legal voters will vote. I'm hoping that there won't be the swath of people that have already passed away continuing to vote, or people voting multiple times and ballot harvesting and everything else, because I'm sorry, you can claim what you want to, but there is just way too much video and testimonial evidence that the 2020 election was not the most secure and the most accurate we've ever had. It wasn't. I'm sorry. It just wasn't. And you disappoint me if you hold on to that, because it shows a willful ignorance of what we know occurred. And again, I'm not running around trying to claim election was stolen. I don't know. I don't have enough evidence for that. I think a great deal of malfeasance went on. I think there's enough video and testimonial proof of that in the follow-on investigations that have gone on. There's enough proof of that. I think there was a great deal of malfeasance that went on. And from everything I can see, the great majority of that was to support the Democratic side. I'm not trying to blame specific Democrats or anything. I don't know who they were for sure. But there was way too much that went on. And I say that, yes, I'm a registered Republican, but I'm sorry, I'm not a party voter. I'm conservative. I believe in conserving. I believe in the rule of law. I believe in the saving of babies. I believe that murdering children in the womb and that mutilating our children due to some misguided idea of supporting what is a mental illness is just wrong. It is just evil. And you can disagree with me if you want to, but I that's just not, and I don't understand how you can support those things and then claim to be a Christian. I think if you're doing that, you need to truly question your Christian walk. You need to truly question whether you're saved. And again, I'm not trying to judge you. I'm being a fruit inspector. That would be like those in the first century running around and sacrificing their children to Baal and then claiming to be part of this new Christian church that Paul and Peter and all of them were starting. You can't do it. I mean, just, you can't. They are incompatible. The two are incompatible. And voting for those that support that, saying, well, I've always voted for this party, is not going to fly when you face judgment. It's just not. That's not an excuse. So anyways, and again, I didn't mean to get up on my pulpit, but while everybody is focusing on those things and everybody's, you know, and folks are talking, oh, there's going to be a red wave. I don't know what there's going to be. I really don't. I think any number of these groupings of surveys and everything like that, I think a lot of them suffer from confirmation bias. If you don't know what that means, it's the idea that you ask the questions you ask because those questions drive towards confirming what your opinions already are. And I think that's invalid. And you see it more than politics. You see it in everything. Honestly, you see it in the church, where people run around asking questions that confirm their opinions about something, not true questions that might actually call into question what their opinions are already are about something. So anyways, but no matter what happens in this election or in the 2024 election, the only thing that is going to straighten all this out is revival. That is the only thing that is going to straighten this out. I gotta be honest. I don't disagree with my pastor. I think our society is lost. I think America is going down, and I hate to say that because I and many of my brothers and sisters have gone out there, and I say brothers and sisters that served, have gone out there and sacrificed. I missed my oldest son's first words and first steps because I was deployed, because my submarine was out on deployment. And as much as I hate that, I felt like it was worth it. It was worth it to provide safety for my family and a safe place for them to live and be while that was going on. But what we have got to do is we have got to set up a new culture. We have to set up a new culture. And that new culture has to be Christian. That is the only thing that is going to change this. Our country's gone the way of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm not trying to be fatalistic. I just, so many of even the ones who claim to be on the side of right, they are just as bad as their opponents. They just pretty it up better. So I'm sorry, just my opinion. I'm really not trying to be political. But revival, I truly believe revival is our only answer. And we've got to be praying for that, because that is what will bring us through. And for that, we've got to have a saving faith in Christ. You can sit there and run around and, oh, you know, I'll repent on my deathbed, and, you know, or I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as Joe Schmo over here. That's not how it's looked at. We're not compared that way. The criteria we're compared against is God, and He is perfectly holy, and we will never be so. we will never meet that criteria. And our only way to salvation is through the sinless life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I would beg you today to hit your knees and pray that the Holy Spirit would come and do a work of regeneration in you so that you can come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be able to come together this morning and to be able to spend this time in your word and in prayer and devotion. And as we pray every morning, Lord, we would pray that this time this morning would also lift us up, would edify us, would equip us, and would hedge up our way so that we would truly walk a true Christian walk, uncluttered and unencumbered by the opinions of the world, but totally guided on your direction and on what you have told us and what you have instructed us, what you have commanded us, and what would come from true love and obedience to you. Dear Lord, please watch over us as we go out into this day so that our walk and that our walk would truly be that walk we just spoke of, so that we would truly be the light in this world, and that we would be a part of that, not for our own glory, but of yours, to bring upon this world revival and a turning back to you, a reformation, a turning back to you. We are to always be reforming, and that's part of the Reformation, and we're coming up upon that time of year where it's the anniversary of the Reformation. And Lord, we would pray that our churches and our church bodies would always be reforming, not in the gross, crass way some false teachers and false wannabe prophets out there have tried to turn it, but that we would always be turning back to you. We would always be turning back to your word. We would always be shaping our worship and our behavior and our everyday walk upon your dictates, upon your commands. Dear Lord, we love you so much. Please walk with us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I hope you have a wonderful day. And please know I say the things I do because I love you. It is not meant out of hate or anger or irritation or judgment or anything like that. It comes from a place of loving you to the point that I'm not willing to stand aside and wave at you and smile at you as the freight train of judgment runs you over, and that you are forced to face an eternity in God's wrath. I'm not willing to do that. So I must tell you because I love you. All right. You have a great day. And remember, as I continue to tell you, do every little thing you do today, do it for the glory of God. Have a great one. God bless.